Imagine this. You're on the phone with your friend when they answer with a strange 0.7-second silence before launching into, "Where have you been all morning?" That tiny pause speaks volumes. It signals trouble ahead, breaking the expected pattern of greetings we all instinctively follow. This is the fascinating world of conversation analysis that Elizabeth Stokoe reveals in her groundbreaking work. Unlike the chaotic mess conversation might appear to be, our daily interactions follow remarkably predictable patterns, a conversational racetrack with clear lanes and rules. When we study real conversations in slow motion, we see how different word choices lead to dramatically different outcomes, just as different driving maneuvers affect a journey's course. Take something as simple as answering the phone. There's a three-part pattern: the greeting, hello, identification, hi, it's Elizabeth, and the how are you sequence. This pattern varies by context. Doctor's appointments typically skip how are yous, business calls include formal identifications, and urgent calls bypass pleasantries entirely. When these patterns break, it signals trouble. In that call between friends, the recipient responds with a bright hello, followed by strategically using conversational structure to push back against the confrontational opening. These aren't just academic observations, but practical insights into how we navigate potential conflict every day. We're all natural conversationalists with tacit knowledge about turn-taking developed since childhood, though many common beliefs about communication are incorrect. Conversation operates on structured units called adjacency pairs, two turns that belong together, like question-answer or greeting-greeting. The first speaker creates an expectation for a specific response, with even microsecond delays carrying social significance. In Friends, when Monica asks Phoebe, "You know what I'm thinking?" she's using a turn designed to set up a future action, not actually seeking a guess. Phoebe's literal interpretation generates laughter by violating conversational norms. Film directors leverage this timing precision. In The Duchess and Frozen, characters' hesitations before responding to yes-no questions signal insincerity. Creating successful invitations extends beyond direct asking. Effective invitations often include preliminary pre-sequences, like, "What are you up to this evening?" to test waters and avoid rejection. Conversation follows preference structures, where preferred responses, acceptances, require less effort than dispreferred ones, rejections. How we speak fundamentally shapes who we are and how others perceive us. Our conversational choices actively construct our identities, not just reflect them. The words we choose, like saying, "I had a fall" versus "I fell over," build our sense of self and become evidence for how others assess our character. First movers make unprovoked, out-of-place conversational turns that put others in difficult positions, like Mr. R, who skipped normal greetings to insult Leslie at a jumble sale. These non-sequitur openings create a trap. Challenge the comment, and you risk being labeled oversensitive. We judge character through these conversational choices. In Friends, Monica labels Danny rude when he responds to their apology with just "okay" before shutting the door. Similarly, Sophie finds it fucking rude when an ex merely says hi and walks off, acceptable for acquaintances, but inappropriate for former partners. The Conversation Analytic Personality Diagnostic identifies several types: misgreeters, who fail at proper greetings; recalibrators, who dismiss someone until realizing their importance; how are you subverters, who use greetings to launch into self-centered monologues; and recompleters, who dominate by finishing others' complete turns. The claim that communication is 93% body language is impractical. If true, foreign languages would be unnecessary and phone conversations impossible. Meaning actually comes from the combination of words and physical conduct, not from treating one as inherently more truthful. The belief that women and men communicate fundamentally differently lacks scientific consensus. Studies on who talks more show contradictory results, with some favoring women, others men, and some finding no difference. This confusion stems from focusing on gender while ignoring more relevant factors. Cross-cultural research reveals surprising universals in conversation. Studies across indigenous and major world languages show similar patterns in turn-taking, with minimal overlap and consistent timing between turns. Words like and aren't meaningless fillers, but serve specific purposes, revealing speakers' real-time processing of conversation. These myths persist because researchers rarely study authentic conversation, instead relying on experiments, self-reports, and simulations that often examine written text rather than genuine speech. Words don't just reflect our thinking, they actively shape conversation outcomes. Similar to behavioral economists' nudge theory, conversation analysts study how different formulations produce different responses. The choice between some versus any in questions dramatically affects responses. When doctors asked, "Is there anything else?" only 50% of patients reported additional concerns, compared to 90% when asking, "Is there some other issue?" University settings show the same pattern. Any questions receive minimal response, while some questions encourage participation. A study at an art gallery demonstrated how cashiers' question formatting influenced charitable giving. Simple yes-no questions about gift aid were far more successful than those offering alternatives. In crisis negotiations, word choice is crucial. Police recordings revealed that asking to talk with persons in crisis often led to resistance, while framing the activity as speak increased engagement. Unlike talk, the word speak doesn't carry negative associations and creates fewer opportunities for resistance. Asking for help involves complex social negotiations beyond direct requests. People frequently use pre-requests or phishing techniques, like when Marie announces she's really hot before explicitly asking for deodorant, to gauge willingness before making direct requests. Word choice reflects perceived entitlement and system knowledge. Modal verbs like can I or could you imply entitlement, while phrases like I was wondering if it's possible deliberately reduce it. In medical settings, patients requesting later appointments signal routine needs, while those who need to be seen communicate urgency. Service burden is evident in healthcare, where patients must actively pursue options. Receptionists often respond minimally without offering alternatives. Research shows surgeries placing higher burden on patients received lower satisfaction scores, while training receptionists to actively offer alternatives improved satisfaction without requiring additional resources. Don't try to build rapport. Forced rapport often backfires. Premature pleasantries create awkwardness. Names serve as attention signals, not connection builders. The paradox? Deliberately attempting rapport undermines it. Authentic connection emerges naturally through genuine interaction. Listen for action, not just information. Understand what speakers aim to accomplish with their words. When making requests, check your entitlement by considering your right to ask, whether you could do it yourself, the effort required, and the importance. Change one word to transform outcomes. Replace any with some in questions to shift responses from negative to positive. Use willing instead of interested to increase participation. Say speak rather than talk when dealing with people in crisis. Bust the myths. Abandon conventional advice about rapport building, body language, or gender-specific communication styles. Be strategic about conversation openings and push back when necessary. Create opportunities that invite positive interactions while minimizing conflict. Remember, conversation isn't random chaos, but a dance with predictable patterns. Understanding these patterns helps you navigate more skillfully, choosing words that open doors rather than close them.